Joshua chapter number 6.
We were in this passage of Scripture last Sunday night. Lord just really began to speak to our heart and help us. And as I mentioned this morning, close of the meeting, I thought maybe the Lord was done with what He had given to us, both before church and also during the actual preaching. And after we got home and got to thinking about it and praying about it, and the Lord just spoke to our heart that He wasn't done with it. And so we want to look at it a little further. We'll look in chapter 5, verse 13. It's where we looked at last week. We started verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. We pointed that out, meant that he was there surveying. He was there close enough. He was checking it out. He was looking it over, sizing it up, and trying to come up with a strategy, a plan of attack. He knew Jericho had to be dealt with, but he was surveying. And it came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, no doubt, he looked, lifted up his eyes and he looked, intending to see the walls, probably to, you know, do the surveying. But instead of seeing the walls, he saw the Master. And here's what the Bible says. And he lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And there's your good proof text that God likes shouting. Spiritual shouting. Shouting by faith. It's easy to shout after the walls fall, but they shouted before the walls fell. And he said, they shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat. The people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, now notice this, God had been speaking to Joshua starting in verse 1. Well, actually, on back into chapter 5, God had been speaking to Joshua. And by the way, I just wanted to mention this to clarify that this was definitely an Old Testament Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord that Joshua was speaking to, the captain of the Lord's host. And when he comes to chapter 6, verse number 2, he's still talking to that same one. And that same one is still talking to Joshua, and here's what he said, and the Lord said unto Joshua. And the Lord said unto Joshua. So he identified right there who this was. And then after God got through speaking to Joshua, then in verse number 6, he calls the priests together and he shares God's direction to the priest. And then in verse 7, he calls the people together and he begins to tell them what God says. Verse number 7, and he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass that when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on, blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. I got a note right there that a lot of people never experience much victory because they can't be quiet. This crowd here couldn't open their mouth until they had the go-ahead. And then it was to be a shout at that. But anyway, that's just a little side note there. Wasn't extra. Wouldn't cost you nothing. Verse number 11, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning. The priest took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned in the camp, and so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the manner, the same manner, 7 days. I remember preaching on that, going in circles. I remember preaching on that. Seemed like there's times in your life you're just doing the same old, same old, same old. You're just going in circles. And the devil will tell you sometimes that that's not the will of God, but that's not the case. You might be in the will of God. Amen? But anyway, that's a whole other message. And it came to pass, verse 16, at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Well, that's a good thing to shout about. And the city was accursed, in even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And you can go to Hebrews 11 and see that that was an act of faith. That's only the reason God honored that. It was an act of faith. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. And we know who did that later on in the chapter. Achan did that. But verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the Lord's treasury come into the treasury of the Lord. And so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman and young, old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. And of course the story goes on about how that the Lord spared Rahab and her home and so forth. But I'm interested in this Jericho experience. I'm interested in this confrontation. I hate confrontation, and you do as well if you're saved. We don't run from it, but if it's in our way, we've got to deal with it. And Jericho was in the way. We need to view things as being in the way. I believe that's what Paul, I believe, was the writer of Hebrews, what he had in mind, I believe, when he said, laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. I believe he was talking about looking at things that are in the way of progress, things that's hindering you, things that's holding you down, things that's holding you back. And if you read the story about Jericho, it was in the way. It was holding them back. They had to deal with Jericho. Well, the only thing about that, of course, think about this. This crowd had been led out of Egypt. This crowd had seen God do great, mighty things. And they had now been under Joshua's leadership, brought into the land of Canaan, which is God's will for their life. And God has a will for you. If you're saved, God has a will for you. A perfect will for you. And you ought to desire to get right in the middle of it. You ought to desire God's will. I think Brother Mark started teaching this morning on the will of God. My, what an important subject that is. Every saved person ought to be concerned about what the will of God is. Amen? Well, the will of God for the children of Israel was Canaan. That was the will of God. It wasn't the will of God for them to stay in the wilderness. That wasn't the will of God. It wasn't the will of God for them to die in the wilderness. No, but they're, when they come to Kadesh Barnea, they said no. They sent the spies. They saw the giants. They saw the walled cities. They saw all the problems. They saw all of the hindrances and the difficulties. And instead of going on and saying, you know what? Yeah, there is giants and there is walled cities and yes, there is problems that we're going to have to deal with. Amen. We can do it with the Lord. But instead, they turned back and that crowd died in the wilderness. And only those 20 years old and up lived to go into Canaan. The only two of that old generation that went into Canaan was Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb. But Jericho's got to be dealt with. That's the thing that I want to start with tonight, is that Jericho represents obstacles in our life. Now, it would have been easier for the flesh to have said, let's go around it. By the way, I pointed out, it's in, like in the Ryrie Study Bible and it's in other places, that it wasn't that big. Jericho was only about 8 or 9 acres. That's not real big. That's only, my property over in Holster's like 1 acre, 1.2 or something. So it was only about 8 times bigger, 9 times bigger than my property. Wouldn't take much to go around that. But the problem was, it was in the way. And it was the will of God that Jericho be dealt with. Amen. The obstacle was in the way. And I wrote this down, I mentioned it last Sunday, that our obstacles are God's opportunities. What is in our way could be God's way of expressing and demonstrating His power to His people. And here's the thing you need to know tonight. Jericho is no competition to God. Jericho's walls, they were known for their thick, high walls. Those impossible walls. They were known for their insurmountable walls. Jericho could not be conquered because it was protected by these thick, high walls. But it wasn't no competition to God. God could have taken care of Jericho with just the snap of his finger or even a thought or just a word spoken. He could have said, walls be destroyed and the walls would have disintegrated. He could have said, Jericho be no more and Jericho would have ceased to exist. There wouldn't have been no evidence of it. He could have done that. But here's what God has always set up through the Scripture. He chooses to use His people. He wants to deal with Jericho, but He deals with Jericho through His people. And God still works through His people. God could speak the word. God could write the gospel in the clouds. God could write the gospel, my friend, you know, He could write it in the heavens. And in less than 24 hours, everybody see it. I mean, He could do that. But He uses His people. He chose to use His people. He gets His work done through His people. He gets His warring going on through His people. Why is it that God's people are to put on the whole armor of God? Why? Because we're in the warfare. We're in the fight of God. Amen? Now the victory is ours, but we still got to fight. We still got to stand. We still got to do that. Amen? But Jericho represents obstacles that stand in the way of spiritual progress. Boy, how many people, they get saved and boy, they seem to launch forth and they seem to take off and seem like they're going to do good. And then all of a sudden you start seeing decline. You start seeing them slow down. You start seeing them, you know? And what happens right there is there are some Jerichos in their life. There is some obstacles in their life. And they either don't deal with it or they try to go around it and allow it to stay. And if you don't deal with Jericho today, Jericho will deal with you tomorrow. You can go around it. You wouldn't have to go much out of your way to go around a 9-acre city. I mean, you think about Rogersville's way bigger than that. Are you listening? In fact, I think the church property here, Brother Carroll, y'all help me on this. I think our church property is about 7 acres. So it's not the city of Jericho wasn't much bigger than Rogersville Baptist Temple Church property. Are you listening? A little bigger, not much bigger. But here's the thing. It wouldn't take much to go out of your way to get around it. But it's still there, and it will always be an enemy. It will always be a problem. Every time you turn around, there's Jericho. Every time you turn around, there's Jericho. Are you listening? And so we've got to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, it's going to deal with you. You can allow it to remain in your life and say, well, I'm going to go on and I'm just going to leave that. But as you go on, guess who's fighting you from behind? Your most vulnerable side. Your most vulnerable side is from behind. Just like an old dog. Most time won't come at you from the front. They want to get around behind you. As we would call it, the blind side. And so it is with the devil. That's the way he works. He wants to get around. He wants you to leave his strongholds alone in your life and say, well, you're just going to go on and leave them. Well, then he'll attack you from behind. So Jericho represents obstacles that's in the way of spiritual progress. Obstacles that cannot be ignored. Amen. Cannot be ignored. To avoid dealing with Jericho, one, you'll have to just let it keep you in check where you can't move, or else you'll have to turn around. And you think about it, Jericho was only 5 miles from Jordan. They crossed Jordan River. God, you remember, God opened the thing up and it backed up all the way to the city of Adam. Supernaturally, God opened the river up, Jordan. There's only 5 miles. It went 5 miles, and there was Jericho. Wasn't it amazing how when you get serious, want to go with God, do something for the Lord, and you don't even hardly get going good until there's a Jericho in your life. And that's knocked a lot of people down knocked them out of the saddle and knocked them for a loop. Is when they get excited about going with God and serving the Lord, and all of a sudden there's a Jericho in their life. All of a sudden there's this obstacle in my life. And it seems to be undefeatable. It seems to be insurmountable. It seems to have walls of impossibility. But it's got to be dealt with. It cannot be ignored. Let me just say this. What you allow to stay in your life that you know God wants out will be what will defeat you. What you allow to stay in your life that you know God wants out, that'll be the very thing that will defeat you. Guarantee it. No telling how many people's got out of church over things that they know God wanted dealt with in their life and they wouldn't do it. No telling about that. Amen? Best thing for all of us to do is that if God wants it out, it's out. We ought to just say, God, if you want it gone, it's gone. If you want it out of my life, it's out of my life. Amen? If you want me to deal with Jericho, it's dealt with. Amen? That's right. Praise God. But it's got to be dealt with. You can't ignore it. You can't avoid it. It's got to be dealt with in your life. have just no longer not been preaching tonight, I'd say there's been several of you already in your mind. You're thinking about some things. Some things in your life that maybe at one time God put His finger on your life. And it was clear to you that He dealt with you about it. And He lets you know up front, this is wrong and you need to deal with this. This is going to be a hindrance to you. This is going to be a weight that's going to keep you hindered in your race for God. You know? And either you dealt with it or you didn't deal with it. Amen? And I'll say this to all of us. If God ever put His finger on something and showed you, I don't want that in your life, He'll never change His mind. He'll never change His mind later on in life, Brother Brian, and say, you know what? I was serious then, but I'm not serious now. So I'll let you have that. You don't worry about it. You know? Of course, there's a time in our life that if we keep persisting to say, God, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this Jericho, I don't want to deal with this, I want this in my life, you know, I can handle it, I'll just keep it, you know, I'll just keep it to the side, I'll not let it ever be priority, I'll never let it be preeminent, I'll never let it be paramount, I'll never let it be tops, you know, I'll just let it, it'll just be a little sideline situation. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, there'll come a time in your life that God will let you have that. If you persist, just like in Psalms 107, chapter 106, when it talked about the children of Israel got dissatisfied with eating manna, and they kept saying, we want this, we want this, we want the meat, we want meat, we want, you know? And God finally said, all right, if that's what you want, I'll give it to you. And the Bible said it while it was still in their mouth, while they were still chewing on it, He sent leanness to their soul. It was a means of sickness to them. And they got what they wanted. They got what they wanted. They thought, man, my life is, I've got to have this. I've got to have this. They kept on and on and on, rejecting what God said. God said, no, it's not the will. It's not my will. You know, they kept on. We want it. We want it. We want it. You know why? That's what the Philistines eat. That's what the heathens eat. And He said, this is what we want. We want it. And He said, all right, I'll let you have it. If you keep going on, and I don't know why I'm saying this or what name to preach none of this, but if you keep persisting to have Jericho stay in your life, that thing that God wants dealt with in your life, that'll be the very thing that God one day will say, okay, you want it, you can have it. But you'll regret it every day that you live. Amen. You'll regret it every day that you live. Now that's just the way it is. Best thing all of us could do would be able to say, God, what is Your will? I don't care what it is. I want it. I want it. If it's not Your will, I don't want it. Right. Amen. If it's not Your will, I don't want it. I remember one time, you know, growing up, you kind of get infatuated with puppy love and all this kind of stuff. Well, I was saved, and I'm in my 20s, you know I'm saved, and my wife knows all this, don't worry about it. And I was saved, and I was preaching, and single and all that, you know, and well, this girl, I'm telling you, I had my eye on her. Now I'm telling you, she sung in a gospel group down in Asheville, North Carolina, out of Brother Ralph Sexton's church, and I thought, man, if I could just go out with her. I'd sweep her off her feet and all this kind of stuff. Well, anyway, I finally got the nerve, of asking her, would you have lunch with me sometime? Well, I figured she'd say, you, little old you. I figured she'd say that. Well, she took me up on it. Well, yeah. Well, of course, I about fainted, about died three times. And so anyway, I'm a preacher and boy, I've got my standards set high and I'm ready to just, you know, I'm going to go for God regardless. Well, here's something that I wanted, you know, and it looked like everything was falling in place. Boy, I thought, man, this is happening, you know. You know, everybody's going to talk about Preacher Rackley getting this particular woman, you know, and all this. And I thought, well, that'd be the deal. Well, I'm just tore all to pieces, you know. And I went by her workplace. She worked for Brother Squire Parsons. And I went by to pick her up for lunch. And as soon as I walked through the door, I about died four heart attacks. Because I had high standards, still do, on dress issues. And she was dressed very inappropriately for my convictions. I about died on the spot. Now, there was a Jericho There was a Jericho, Brother Clipper. I could have said, you know what? I don't care what she's got on. She's what she's pretty and she's what I want. And boy, she can sing and et cetera, et cetera. But I said, no, I'm not compromising. And she saw it on my face as we went out and looked, eat. She said, you have a problem with what I got on, don't you? At that point, I said, yes, I do. Amen. Well, that was the end of that. Amen. I wasn't even interested. I mean, my interest was gone. Why? Because I had made the will of God, Brother Mark, tops from the time I got saved. I said, God, I'll never sell your will out. I don't care how pretty they are. I don't care what the deal is. If it's going to hinder me spiritually or if I'm going to have to compromise to get them, I'm not going to do it. Amen. That's right. And your spirituality is inseparable with your choices that you make. But I don't know where that come from. But anyway, so be it. But if they had turned around, listen, if they had turned around, then they would have had to dealt with Jordan again. If they had turned around in 5 miles, Brother Darrell, they'd had to dealt with Jordan. Guess what? God opened Jordan for them to get in, but He'll never open it to get out. They would have had to have dealt with Jordan. They would have had to have swam it. There had been people died. You know, they would no telling. Because Jordan in itself means death. So if they turn around and not deal with Jericho, then they're facing death. Well, if they decided to go 7 miles, I believe it was northwest or whatever, then they would have to deal with something else. Or southwest, guess what they'd have to deal with there? The Dead Sea. Every way they turned, death was looking at them. If you try to turn and not deal with Jericho, there's going to be deadness in your life. Your spiritual life is going to die on you. It's going to dry up on you. The best thing to do is deal with the difficulty. Deal with Jericho. God is bigger than Jericho. God's greater than Jericho. And Hebrews 11 says, by faith, those walls fell. Well, amen. So Jericho is an obstacle. Let me just give you this right here. I feel like the Lord wants me to do this. Jericho represents the foes that are in your life. The foes, the enemies. Your flesh is an enemy. The world's an enemy. The devil's an enemy. So it represents foes. You've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. You ignoring them doesn't cause them no longer to be a foe. But not only does Jericho represent your foes, but it also represents your fears. Your fears. Can you imagine what kind of fear they had when they faced this Jericho that had never been defeated? Can you imagine what they felt? Boy, your fears can hinder your progress. Your foes can hinder your progress. What about this one? It represents feelings. It represents feelings that's standing in the way. That's hindering you spiritually. Feelings. Ill feelings. Ill feelings. I'm not talking about being sick. I'm talking about having ill feelings toward someone. Amen? Spirituality is not outward only. It's inwardly. It's both. And boy, you can have ill feelings toward someone. Unhealthy feelings. Feelings of resentment and anger and retaliation and bitterness and hurt and anger and so on. And wrath and all those things you can have in you, but you've got to deal with. Jericho has got to be dealt with in your life. If you're going to progress, if you're going to go forward, you've got to deal with Jericho. But not only does Jericho deal with foes and fears and feelings, but here, listen to this. Jericho represents the flesh. Jericho represents the flesh. Did you know the very name Jericho means fragrance? The city of palms. Jericho was known for its wickedness. Did you know that? Jericho was known for its wickedness. I don't know if you remember or not when I preached out of Luke's gospel on those that would leave Jerusalem to go to Jericho. Remember we pointed out that Jericho wasn't that far from Jerusalem, but it was way down on its elevation. It was way down below Jerusalem and it wasn't that far away. But it was wicked. It was known for its temple prostitutes. It was known for its religious immorality. It had 12,000 priests in it. It was a very wicked religious city. In other words, Jericho was a place where you could pretty much have any fleshly desire gratified. You could have your flesh a heyday in Jericho. I want to tell you, if you're going to have a spiritual life, you're going to have to deal with Jericho. You're going to have to deal with Jericho, those things in your life that appeals to the flesh. You have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with that. Amen. God help us. I always know this, and I know this simple stuff. I know that. But listen, anything that God deals with in your life and you know is in the way of your spiritual progress, please get this in your heart. It will always be a hindrance. It will always be a hindrance. Amen. It will always be a thorn in your side. The best thing to do is just deal with it. Just deal with it. Amen. Deal with it personally. Deal with it as a family. Deal with it as a church. Amen. And so I just simply want to deal with this tonight, if the Lord will help me just for a few minutes. What is involved in overcoming these walls of impossibility? What are some key elements? You know, we can do it. We know we can. We know that these walls can be overcome. We know that. Not in ourselves. Excuse me. Not in ourselves, but in God and through God and by faith, these walls can be overcome. The first thing I want to mention is if we're going to have victory over what's hindering us spiritually, number one, we're going to have ears to hear. We're going to have ears to hear. Look at chapter 6. I'm not going to go back and reread this, but we're going to have ears to hear. When the Lord spoke to Joshua, and Joshua spoke to the priest and to the people and told them what God said, everybody had ears to hear. Now, it's easy to have ears to hear when you're hearing what you want to hear. And most churches are growing leaps and bounds because that's exactly the gear that most preachers are in today, is catering to what the people wants to hear. And I promise you, there's no people wants to hear preaching against sin. You know, we need it, but we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. But the first ingredient to having victory over the walls that are hindering us spiritually in our life, my friend, that cannot be avoided, they cannot be ignored, they've got to be dealt with, the first thing is having ears to hear. You ought to tell the Lord, Lord, I've got my ears on. I've got my ears open, speak to me. I want to be swift to hear, as the book of James records it. I want to be a hearer of the Word. Amen? I want my ears open. What is it the Lord would speak to you tonight about personally in your family and you would get upset about? What is it in your life that God would put His finger on in your life and say, you need to deal with this, and you'd get mad about it? Whatever it is that you would get upset at God about and buck and reject and rebel against God about, that's the very thing that you're going to have to deal with before you can experience spiritual progress. Now let me say this to us tonight. God's will is that we have spiritual progress. It is not God's will that we get stagnant. It's not God's will that, my friend, we get sad and go around with a long face and act like salvation is some kind of disease. I want to tell you, friend, it's the will of God that from the point of salvation till we leave this world, that our life is growing spiritually. And we ought to deal with what hinders it. Amen. Or not to go just so far and stop. You're not to draw lines in the sand and say, no trespassing. Don't go past this. Lord, speak to me in this area if you want to. Deal with me about this if you want to. But leave that alone. Amen. Ears to hear. They had ears to hear. Well, I don't have the time tonight to deal with the verses and all the passages, my friend, that talks about hearing. Every church letter in Revelations 2 and 3 ends up with this statement. He that hath ears to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I want to ask you something. Just don't answer out loud, but ask yourself, how long has it been since you heard God speak to you? There were people in the service this morning with the power of God, the presence of God so real in the service. There were people in the service this morning that God didn't say a word to. I guarantee you, I mean, I don't have anybody in mind, but I guarantee you, there were folk left out of the building this morning that did not hear the voice of God, that did not feel the presence of God. They could tell by looking around that God was here, but it wasn't personal. And it wasn't real. A lot of that is a hearing problem. A lot of that's a hearing problem. Amen. John 10 talks about, we are sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11 talks about those that are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Hard of hearing. Amen. And I believe God's people has a voice that's tuned up with God. Or God's ears that's tuned up with God's voice. I remember my daddy, a lot of times he'd come in, I didn't know he'd be around. You know, they just showed up. I mean, they just showed up in places that they weren't supposed to be and all that kind of stuff. And they knew what they weren't supposed to know and see what they weren't supposed to see. And they could look through walls and hear 100 miles and all that. And my daddy, all he'd have to do is speak. And buddy, it didn't matter what other noise was going on. It didn't matter what other racket was going on. It doesn't matter who else was talking. When my daddy spoke, my ear hooked up with it and I knew who that was. Amen. Same way it is with my Heavenly Father when He speaks. Thank God we know it. We know it. Amen. So if we're going to have victory over the impossible walls of Jericho, we're going to have ears to hear. We'll have to have ears to hear. A second truth we're going to have in our life, not only ears to hear, and you think about now listen, you think about what they were hearing. Think about what they were hearing. What they were hearing did not make a lick of sense. Now we're not talking about just having ears to hear. We're talking about, are we willing to hear God speak to us when He tells us things that don't make a lick of sense? They were hearing God say, do this and do this and do this, and you could not find it in no war manuals. We're going to defeat the city by walking and shouting. No shots fired, no swords, no hand-to-hand combat, no traps set, no. Just walk around the city one day each day for 6 days, on the seventh day 7 times, making it 13 times total. Just walk around the city, keep your mouth shut, let the trumpets blow, and carry the ark. And it's one thing for God to speak to you stuff you want to hear, but when He starts telling you to do things that don't make sense, when He starts asking you to do things that, my friend, goes cross-grain with what you think and what others are going to think and what family's going to think and what friends are going to think, then what are you going to do then? You've got to have ears to hear. Amen? All right, number two. Number two, not only ears to hear, but we're going to have faith to act. When God does speak of things in our life that don't make sense, that you know, just will not be agreeable to good logic and good reasoning, faith steps in and says, though I don't understand it, though I cannot explain it, though it's never been done before, God said it, and faith responds to God's Word, and I'm going to act on it. So if we're going to have victory over the Jericho walls, we're going to have ears to hear. We're going to have faith to act. And by the way, that's the only kind of faith in the Bible is active faith. Amen. There's no such thing in the Bible as just saying, I believe, and it followed up by no action and no works and no nothing. Amen. Even Hebrews 11, it goes through that whole chapter. By faith, Enoch, and he told what he did because of his faith. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. And right on down the line, their faith motivated and inspired them to do something. I would ask you tonight, is your faith influencing you to do anything? Is your faith motivating you to do anything? Amen. It ought to motivate how you live. Say amen right there. So there's ears to hear. Then there's faith to act. If what we hear seem like is in agreement with reasoning and logic and just makes good sense, then it won't require faith. If God asks me to do something that I can see and understand, it won't require faith. But when God puts His finger on things, when God asks me to deal with things and deal with things in such a way that it don't make a lick of sense, then it's going to require faith. Amen. It's going to require faith. So number one, we've got to have ears to hear. We've got to have faith to act. And then number three, we've got to have patience to wait. Oh, we just got on the one that's killing us all. Amen. We've got to have patience to wait. Okay, God, you want us to deal with Jericho walls? Let me deal with it. Let me go around it one time. Lord, just let me deal with it one time, and we can get take care of the shouting, and it'll be over with, and we can be on our way. But God said, no, I want you to walk around it. All the way around it in a particular order, in a particular layout. This is the way I want it. Isn't that something? How God is interested in details. Church, listen, don't ever get it in your mind that God doesn't care about details. God cares about details. Well, it don't matter about this preacher. It don't matter about that. Well, it might matter. It might be a detail that God is interested in. When God told Noah to build the ark, He didn't just say build the ark. He gave him details. Gave him dimensions. How wide, how tall, all on the inside, all on the outside. He told him every detail. Are you listening? When God told Moses to build the tabernacle, details. I mean details. Minute details. Things that you probably say, well, what matter? What does it matter if that is gold hooks or silver hooks? What does it matter if that's a piece of gopher wood or if that's just a piece of oak wood? What does it matter? No, it's details. God's people are people that don't ask questions. We just say, God, if you want this, you got it. Amen. God's got a reason for it. God's got a reason for it. But watch this. Ears to hear, faith to act, patience to wait. Boy, how many times we want God to do it and we want it done yesterday? Amen? Impatience. Many times is what's behind wrong decisions. You want it done, it's needed to be done, you need it to be fixed, and all of a sudden you take matters in your own hands and that's when you mess up. Instead of waiting on God, doing what God said, amen, acting by faith, have ears to hear, faith to act, and listen, patience to wait, and waiting on God. Boy, if you're not careful, you'll take matters in your own hands, and you'll start making decisions based on what you think and what you see, and the next thing, you've got completely away from the plan of God for your life. And how many people has done that? How many people has done that in their life? Amen? I'm not leading God. God's leading me. That's the way it's supposed to be. But boy, if we're not careful, we'll be hollering at God. Come on. Let's go, God. I'm already a step ahead of you, and that's a bad place to be, is a step ahead of Him or a step behind Him. Amen? So beware of that impatience. Impatience always leads to wrong decisions. And critical, serious decisions made with haste usually are wrong. Amen. I don't believe God will ever ask anybody to make a serious, life-changing decision that quick. Amen. I don't believe that. I believe He wants you to ponder the path of your feet. I believe He wants you to weigh it out. I believe He wants you to look at it and consider it and deal with it. So not only ears to hear and faith to act and patience to wait, but oh yeah, number four is that it requires obedience to do. It's one thing to hear, but then God wants obedience. Obedience to do. God wants His plan carried out practically in your life. If you'll get that, it'll help you. God's will practically carried out in your life. They had to do. They had to fall in line. They had to get in order. They had to get where they're supposed to be. And they all had to walk around the city. They all had to do their part. obedience to do. We need everybody doing their part. Everybody doing their part. Being obedient to the Lord. What they were asked to do was to deal with, and here's something the Lord gave me about this. What they were being asked to do was as much about dealing with them as it was dealing with Jericho. What they were being asked to do, my friend, think about this. What did it look like from Jericho's perspective? They'd had those walled cities. They'd been attacked. And then here all of a sudden, here comes this crowd marching around, silently, carrying the ark, blowing horns, and just walking around, then going back to their camp and lodging. Jericho, the Jerichoites probably thought, man, where did this crowd come from? They're a bunch of nuts. They don't know nothing about fighting. You know? But let me just give you this. What they were asked to do made them look foolish. What they were asked to do was the will of God. They had the Word of God on it. But yet when the world looked at it, they'd think, man, y'all are crazy. Y'all are nuts doing that. Amen? So it appeared a foolishness. It seemed to make no sense. And you know what that dealt with? That dealt with the pride issue. Y'all can deal with Jericho yesterday. But it probably took him 7 days to deal with them and get all the pride out of their heart. You know? Here we are, amen. We just come across Jordan, you know, miraculously, and hey, you know, we're victors, and y'all better watch out, man. We'll put a hurting on you. But here God says, I tell you what you're gonna do, big boy, y'all just gonna walk around the city 7 days, keep your mouth shut, or 6 days, keep your mouth shut, and on the seventh day, walk around it 7 times. Had to deal with that pride issue. They were asked to do something that had made them appear to be weak. They were asked to do something that had never been done before. No other army had ever took this tactic and this strategy. No. And I want to tell you what else it was too. Talking about that old act of faith and obedience. You know what I tell you was? Brother, when they was walking around that city, they were open for an attack. Those on Jericho lining the walls, those soldiers, they were within range, possibly within range. They were within range of an attack, and they were vulnerable. They had to trust God for their protection. So there's obedience to do. And then last, number 5, there is a unity to overcome. Unity to overcome. Division is a sure way to defeat. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 12:25? Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city and every house divided against itself shall not stand. He mentioned 3 things where division can take it. He said every kingdom, that's a nation. He said every city, and then He brought it down to every house. The same thing that'll destroy a nation will destroy a city and will destroy a home. And it's called divided, division. It's probably one of the number one tactics of the enemy is division. Amen? They had to be right with God. All of them had to be right with God. They had to be right with Joshua, their leader, and they had to be right with each other. Unity. They had to march. They had to be in line. They had to be where God wanted them to be. Let me give this right here and I'm going to be done. I just jotted this down. What is it going to take? You can write these down. It's a little extra. What it's going to take to have victory over the walls of Jericho is number one, if you just want to write this down, the Lord just give this to me right before I come to church. You've got to have God's government. You've got to have the captain of the Lord's host. You got to have Him in His position of being the governor and the leader and the Lord and the master. He can't have no competition. Amen. And we want Him to have that around here, don't we? We want Him to be the Lord and the master. So we got to have God's government. And then in chapter 6, verse number 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have what? Given into thine hand Jericho. And then again in verse 16, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And I talked about not only God's government, but also God's gift. When you have the obstacles in your life, the Jericho walls in your life, you ought to just say, get ready. God's wanting to give me something. When Jericho walls is in your life and there's obstacles and there's hindrances in your life and you got difficulties fighting your home and fighting in your marriage and fighting your job and fighting every way you turn, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You ought to say, you know what? God's trying to give me something. God's trying to give me something. So it's God's government, God's gift. Thirdly, God's guidance. We need His leadership. We need God's direction. I'm not troubled as long as God is speaking, as long as God's sharing His heart with mine and speaking to us and giving us direction and giving us guidance. We can handle Jericho as long as God's speaking, as long as we've got God's leadership. And then we've got to have, number four, God's glory. 10 times in this chapter, the ark is referred to. He didn't just tell them to walk. He didn't just tell them to blow the horns, the trumpets. He didn't just say, be in the particular order and do it a certain way. He said, every time, make sure you pick that ark up and take it with you. You know why? He wanted that to be a testimony to that wicked bunch of Jericho people. He wanted them to know that the glory and the presence of God is with the people of God. Oh, we need that worse than we need air to breathe. We need God's presence in this place. We do, amen. We need God's glory. We need God's glory, amen. And if we'll do God's will, follow God's presence, follow God's ark, and do it God's way, then we will have God's results. I believe you can see it with God's people here. With Jericho, and that's another point there that you got to have. God works through His people, and we've already said that. But here's the thing. Jericho's not big enough, tall enough, bad enough to defeat God's people that's walking in obedience to His will. The whole world can be against RVT, and the whole world can be against me, or the whole world could be against you. But the world's not big enough and the world's not bad enough to defeat one of God's children that's walking in the will of God. Amen. Amen. That's right. And you know what? I was thinking about, who was it? Was it General Booth that started Salvation Army when he stood up and expressed his will, his desire and the Lord burdened his heart to start Salvation Army? And he shared that with his denomination, and they everyone rejected it. They everyone rejected it. And his wife spoke up from the balcony and said, if God told you to do it, you better do it, and I'm behind you. Amen. And they told him, they said, if you do this, the whole world will be against you. And he said, well, then I'm against the whole world. Boy, I tell you, we need to be focused. We need to be determined. We need to be devoted. We want God's best. And you know what I was reading about Jericho? Jericho was this is what the encyclopedia said, that Jericho was the most important city in the Jordan Valley. Jericho was the strongest fortress in all of the land of Canaan. It was the key to the west, to all of the western Palestine. We're not talking about just any old city. We're talking about the strongest. We're talking about the most important. We're talking about the key. There are certain keys in your life spiritually that if you don't deal with them, those doors will remain locked in your life. How many people? And Jericho's going to be in your life. You won't get saved and go with God and get serious about spiritual living without having to deal with some Jerichos. and without having to deal with some situations in your life. And they may look big. And they may look difficult. And they might even look impossible. But if you'll do it God's way, get God's leadership, get God's way, stay with God's presence, make sure that ark's in your life, then the results is what God will say. Amen? He can handle the walls if He can get us where we need to be. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight to the throne of grace. And dear Lord, I'd ask You, Father, to speak to hearts. Lord, there's no doubt folk in the midst tonight that God, You've dealt with at times, maybe in the present, maybe in the past, or both, that You've dealt with them about some issues in their life, about some things in their life, some attitudes in their life, some actions in their life, some aspirations in their life, and they've yet to deal with it. Maybe because of fear. Maybe because they don't want to deal with it because whatever that is an aspect of fun and fleshly pleasure. And they don't want to deal with it. But dear Lord, if they're interested in the will of God, if they're interested in conquering, and dear God, instead of being conquered, they'll deal with those Jerichos in their life. And dear Lord, I pray You'd help us. And I believe as we made that statement earlier, God, You can deal with our Jerichos. But I think, Lord, You're taking the most time to deal with us. To get us humble. Lord, to get us, God, where we need to be. To get us on holy ground. Get us submitted to You and surrendered to You. To where we're open to the will of God. Lord, I'm fearful that there will be some, even in the midst tonight, that's going to allow the Jerichos to remain. That's going to allow the forbidden to remain in their life. That's going to allow the obstacles and the hindrances to remain in their life. Instead of dealing with it. And then one day, it's going to deal with them. And it won't be good. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear. Help us, Lord, to have faith to act. Patience to wait. Obedience to do. And unity to overcome. Lord, I pray that every person in the building tonight will deal with every feeling of resentment, bitterness, anger, hurt. Lord, whatever the case is, I pray that we just all come clean and we just all get right with God and right with each other and purpose to go on for God. Have Your will and Your way tonight. And we'll give You thanks for it in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.